Well, it's good to see those of you who are out this morning. It's been a long time since the building's been this lopsided, though. Well, this side was doing a lot better. But no, it's good that you're out with us this morning. Some beautiful snow outside. Hopefully it didn't cause you any issues as you came in today. I think this is the fourth snow we've had already this year, and that's just not typical for Tennessee. And while it hasn't really accumulated too much, it sure is pretty to see. This morning I want to talk with you about arguably the best name in the Old Testament. And that being Caleb, of course. Wonderful name, if I do say so myself. And there's a phrase that Bob read for us in verse 24 that Caleb followed the Lord fully, or followed God fully. And really it's kind of interesting, and I know maybe none of you have ever considered what the name Caleb means, but I've always been curious, of course. And it means loyalty, or loyal, a loyal one. And so the idea of following the Lord fully falls in line with what his name actually means in Hebrew, for him to be loyal. But we know the story of Caleb. We know the story of the 12 spies from chapter 13, how they have been given this mission to spy out the land, how they spend 40 days looking at Canaan and traversing the land. They bring back both good news in verse 27 of chapter 13, that it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But they also bring bad news that it's occupied by strong, giant people. Verse 28 of chapter 13. Yet one of the spies, in verse 30 of chapter 13, gives reassurance that God would deliver this land to them, despite the report of these individuals they'd be going up against. He and Joshua. The other 10 spies, of course, overwhelm the people with their bad report, and that goes all the way into verse 4 of chapter 14. Verses 6 through 9 of chapter 14, go up there and read that with me, if you will. Chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we pass through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." At the beginning of these four verses, you have Caleb and Joshua tearing their clothes. They are greatly distressed. They are greatly upset with what the report is of these other 10 spies and how it's influencing God's people, to where they are not trusting in him. They're not believing in him. And so Caleb and Joshua are rebuking the people and trying to give encouragement to the people that if they would not forsake the Lord would deliver this land to them. As you go all the way down to verse 29, past where we read just a few moments ago, verses 29 through 34, you find that Israel is being sentenced. God's judgment is that they will spend 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Verses 36 and 37 of chapter 14 inform us that the 10 spies who gave the bad report have died during this, or have died by a plague before the Lord. And verse 38 of chapter 14, of those men who went to spy out the land, only Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive. And so that's the story of these 12 spies, and the end of 10 of them, and the prolonging of the other two. But back up in verse 24 where it says, "Caleb has followed me fully." That's what God says. A similar statement is made about him time and time again. If you want to jot down some similar passages, we won't take the time to read them all. In Numbers chapter 32, verses 11 and 12, a similar phrase is repeated. In the book of Deuteronomy, the first chapter, in verse 36, and in the book of Joshua, chapter 14, verses 8 through 9 and 14, that being the story where Caleb is the old man and says, the Lord would give me this mountain. Something similar is said about him, how he has followed the Lord fully. And so we have at least four different passages that show this biblical character as one who has followed the Lord fully. I want you to consider for just a moment what Caleb has faced up to this point, this first occurrence of him being called faithful, him following the Lord fully. He has been sent out to spy land. He's been given a mission by God. He has gone out and 5/6, so about 85% of the people he's with have said, there's no way we can take this land. And they come back and they're making the people upset because there's no way they can take this land. And you look at his resolve and his faith through it. He's facing adversity. The majority is against him. There are issues on every hand. And even though he is saying God will protect us, their protection has been taken away, there's a great enemy on that other side. An enemy that Caleb goes fully against in Joshua chapter 14. And so this is a man who is following the Lord fully, following God fully, at different stages of his life with different issues on his hand, and yet he's remaining faithful to God. And so we want to use Caleb's life this morning to examine this idea of following the Lord fully. Starting with, what does it really mean to follow the Lord fully? Well, in the case of Caleb, he has followed the Lord through this spying of the land. He has followed the Lord through the days in the wilderness. And he has followed the Lord in the land of Canaan, Joshua chapter 14 there, where he takes that area. And that is set, my friends, 45 years after this. 45 years later, he is still following the Lord. And so we can draw the conclusion that following the Lord fully means to follow him all of our days. Follow him every day with all we have. You know, there are several Bible characters that we see who did not do that. One from the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 26, Lot's wife. She was given a task, get out of the city and do not look back. And what does she do? Looks back and it costs her her life. In the New Testament, we see characters like this. But we might call to mind the Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes that the Galatians are easily bewitched. Easily to turn away from the Lord. Easily to lead after and hereafter someone else. And so, we have to be cautious because we may find ourselves to be a little like Lot's wife. Or a little like the Galatians. And so we have to caution ourselves and protect ourselves and guard ourselves to ensure that we are following after God, after the Lord, each day of our life. Whether that be through meditation on His Word, whether that be through singing songs, talking with Him in prayer, whatever it takes that we follow after Him every day of our life is what we need to be resolving to do. Paul points out to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, that we should follow him in our youth. But he also points out just a couple chapters before in chapter 2, the first 5 verses of it, that we should follow him in our old age. And so Paul, in his writing to Timothy, is teaching him to admonish and exhort both the young and the old, and that would include the middle ground as well, that they are to follow after the Lord. And so, involved in following the Lord fully is not only following all of our days, but following Him with all of our heart. You know, that's what that word there means, fully. You know, we could simply say, Caleb followed the Lord. Would that be a true statement? Absolutely. He's doing what the Lord has told him to do. But there's this word put there, this adverb, fully, describing that verb of following. And it's giving the impression that it's with all of his heart, with all that he has, with all that he can muster, he's following the Lord. He is following after God with his whole heart. This is the perfect role model for what Jesus called the greatest commandment in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 38. This is the perfect role model for following God as Christ directed through his teaching. How much, when we study the book of Matthew, how much of what Christ was teaching centered on the heart? Pretty well all of it, right? There was a whole lot to do with attitudes. And attitudes get to the heart. If our heart is tuned to God, it becomes easier to follow him all of our days. And we're fulfilling what's been asked of us. But you know, there are sadly many who try to serve the Lord with divided hearts. A good example of that is King Solomon, whose heart was divided based upon the influence of these foreign wives that he took, where they would bring in their own idols and their own gods and their own customs. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 points that out. James talks about that in his letter, in James chapter 4, verse 4, with those who seek to be friends of the world. If our heart is divided, if our heart is, well, 80% for the Lord and 20% for what I want to do, well, number one, it's not fully following the Lord. And number two, that 20% is going to keep growing. Because following the world is a dangerous cancer that overtakes. And so we have to resolve to follow him fully. As Christ points out in the book of John chapter 14 verse 15, that we are to follow him with all of our heart. In the writings of John, 1 John chapter 2 verses 15 through 17, talking there about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Question is, are we trying to serve the Lord with divided attention, or are we giving him our undivided attention? And then a third point we can make about following the Lord fully, what does it mean before we go on with this, is to follow him despite the hazards. Caleb's a pretty good example of that. He's willing to go up and face against the giants of the land, chapter 13 of Numbers, verse 33. But in chapter 14, verses we read 6 through 9, in verse 9 he tells the people not to rebel, do not rebel. You know what happens in verse 10? Then all the congregation went to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of the meeting of all the people of Israel. He has stood up, he and Joshua have stood up and said, as long as we don't rebel against the Lord, he will give it to us. So what do they immediately want to do? Let's put them to death. Let's kill them. And Caleb and Joshua were still bold in what they said, despite the growing aggravation and the growing rebellion of the people, of their own brethren. And so they followed him fully still. And then going to Joshua 14, where we've talked about, he was willing to take on a mountain full of giants in his old age, that he might be faithful to the Lord. Caleb is a man who has faced many adversities in his walk with God. And yet he is staying true to him throughout. He's staying loyal to him. Many, unfortunately, only serve the Lord when it's convenient. When the tough times come, they run. When the tough times come, they leave. It is much easier to serve the Lord when things are good than it is when things are bad. One who is fully following the Lord serves Him no matter the situation. Some people only serve the Lord when it is popular. You know, like the crowds who followed after Jesus? He said to them, "You want your bellies filled." They're following after Him because of what He can do for them, not the other way around. And some follow when it's safe. You know, you think of Peter in his denials of Christ. Why was he denying Him? Lest he be caught up in it as well, right? You talk like them. Your accent betrays you. Your speech betrays you. Peter's denying it so that he's not caught up in what's going on as Christ is being led ultimately to His death there. How many of us will follow Jesus today? Would we follow Him only when it's convenient? Or will we follow Him as really He points out in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 10 through 12 in the Beatitudes there? These are individuals who are facing ridicule, persecution, dangers. Will we continue to follow the Lord despite what may come upon us? And so Caleb is very committed to the Lord. But how was he able to be so committed? So the second question then comes, if this is what it means to fully follow the Lord, how do we become enabled to follow Him as well that way? How do we become enabled to follow Him fully? And I want to suggest two ideas from the life of Caleb. Number one, by keeping our eye on the Lord. By keeping our eyes on God. Caleb's faith was in the Lord, not in himself. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, as he's giving his part of the report, he is confident that they are able to take the land. And when you come down to that discourse he makes in chapter 14, verses 6 through 9, that confidence comes from his faith in God. He's not focused on these tall giants of the land. He's not focused on these strong people, these foreigners. He is focused rather on the faithfulness of God. He, in the situation with the mountain in Joshua 14, is not focused with the number of individuals that are in the mountain, or their strength compared to him in his age, or any of that. He is rather focused on the Lord and His faithfulness. Sometimes when we face our problems, we have to look past them at the Lord instead. We can't focus on the problem, rather on the solution. His eyes were planted on the Lord. As the Hebrew writer points out in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, we need to keep our eyes centered on Christ, centered on Jesus. Looking unto Him as the author and finisher of our faith, it says there. We need to consider what He endured, knowing that it was the Father that helped Him endure. And keeping our eyes centered on Christ and His sacrifice and His love for us, we can better serve God each day. And then secondly, as is pointed out by God in verse 24 of Numbers 14, it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit." So we need to keep our eyes on the Lord and be one of a different spirit. Now, we could consider what that means. Here's some ideas I want to throw at you. He's different than the spirit of the other 10 spies who were defeatist, where he is focused on God. He's different than the spirit in the rest of Israel, because what's the first thing they do in Numbers 14? They complain. Complain about God, complain about Him, and instead, he is focused on God. And so those are a couple of different ideas it could mean by a different spirit. But it's one whose faith is centered on God. We can be strengthened by a different spirit. You know, there's a spirit that's mentioned by Paul in Philippians chapter 4 as a spirit of positive attitude. That's the idea of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's having a positive attitude that if I am focused on serving God and focused on serving the Lord, I'll be able to do what I need to do. How much more so can we be strengthened than by the Spirit of God helping us? We have His divine word given to us so that we can know what we ought to do and know what the Lord would have us do. And through that knowledge, we can be strengthened in knowing that what we are doing is pleasing to God and what we are doing is faithful to Him. All right, finally, so if we're looking at what it means to follow fully and how we then can follow fully, let's give a little motivation. Two things we can give in motivation to follow the Lord fully. Number one, I think, is a very good example of Caleb, is it leads to a very full life. A very useful life. Consider how God used him. Numbers chapter 13, verses 2 and 6, and then chapter 34, verses 18 and 19, point out one fact about Caleb, that he is a leader in the congregation of Israel. He is a leader amongst the people of Israel. In Numbers chapter 14 there, verse 24, God calls him his servant. My servant Caleb. A servant of God first used to spy out the land and then to help divide it later on. Numbers chapter 13 verse 30 and chapter 14 verses 8 and 9 as he's finishing that discourse. He's an example of faith and courage for us still today even. Not only just then amongst the people, but still today. And then Numbers chapter 14 verses 29 through 30. As God is rendering judgment upon these people, and you drop all the way down to verse 38, we are reminded through Caleb's life of his justice, of God's justice. The 10 who turned the people really against the Lord perish, while the 2 who were faithful to him live. And also the Joshua 14, really the entire chapter there. He's an inspiration of service despite one's age. How useful could we be if we followed the Lord fully? Whether it be in our youth or in our old age, no matter what season of life we find ourselves in, one thing that Paul makes very clear when he's pointing out to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, is that we can be of use to the Master. We have a role of use to the Master. And so, motivation to following the Lord fully is it leads to a useful life. But it also leads to a fulfilled one. Both a useful one and a fulfilled one. Caleb was fulfilled in life. Only he and Joshua, Deuteronomy points out for us, Deuteronomy 1, 35 and 36. Only these two were blessed to enter Canaan from this people. He received the land around Hebron as his inheritance. That's Joshua 14. He's worked faithfully for the Lord, and as he's reaching his older age, as he's in his older age, he receives his inheritance from God, the land around Hebron. And Joshua 14, verse 15, as his story is really ending, we learn something very important that is not said of the entire land of Israel. Israel had a problem. They were told to go in and wipe out all the people. And what happened because they did not? The people became a thorn in their side. These foreigners came up against them. There was always war going on. One thing that's pointed out in Joshua 14, verse 15, is the land of Caleb saw no war. His land had rest from war. What kind of fulfilled life, then, does Jesus offer to those of us today who would follow Him fully? Well, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, Paul points out that one would experience love which surpasses all knowledge. In Philippians 4, verse 7, one would experience peace which surpasses all understanding. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, one that experiences joy that is inexpressible. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that our needs would be provided. That's what a fulfilled life is, folks. It's not having all the wealth in the world. It's not having the biggest family, the best name, the best whatever. It's having love and peace and joy and needs met. That's a fulfilled life. And that's offered to those of us who would follow the Lord fully. Caleb is an inspiration to all of us. And again, has one of the best names in the Bible, if I do say so myself. But really, if you think about it, knowing what his name means in Hebrew, being loyal, it reminds us of his life. And reminds us of what he's done for God. And encourages us, hopefully all, to do the same. He followed the Lord all the days of his life with all of his heart, with all of his mind, despite whatever trials or hazards may be on his way. Can we too follow the Lord fully so that we may have a useful and fulfilled life in the Lord? Commentators estimate that there were about 604,000 men above the age who wandered in the wilderness. Do you know how many came out alive? Joshua and Caleb. Their brethren did not enter into Canaan because they were unwilling to follow the Lord. May that not be said of us. May it not be said that we cannot enter the promised land because we would not follow the Lord. You may be here this morning and you need to obey the gospel. You need to follow the Lord fully. And maybe you're here and you have followed the Lord at times in your life, but not fully. You're not resolved with all you have to follow after God. Make your life right with Him today. If it's something we can help you with, if you need prayers, whatever your situation might be, let the example of Caleb influence you to want to follow the Lord fully all the days of your life. And so if we can help you this morning, won't you come as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.